Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Beyond Sports. It is Hannah Stanley here with you, as I am every single weekend. And today I'm thrilled to be talking to I don't want to say an old friend, because that makes us both sound elderly, but someone I have known and been able to chat with for quite a while now. David Glass, attorney based in Los Angeles, but your fingers touch all over. But you have a new podcast, and the reason we're talking to you about this, because many people have new podcasts, is because of the topics that you're discussing. One, divorce, separation, co-parenting, that kind of thing, but also mental health and the psychology behind this. And I love adding these two things together, because one, I don't think we can talk about psychology and mental health enough, especially at this time, when everybody is going through something, but then also when people are going through something in their life that they probably didn't expect, because who gets married thinking they're going to get divorced? No one, I would hope. But tell me how this started and what we can expect, because I'm really excited.
Sure. Well, first of all, Hannah, thanks for having me on again. Always a pleasure to talk to you. It all started when I got divorced 14 years ago. I was looking for a book or a website or something that could tell me how to help myself move on. I got through the divorce. It was relatively easy. My kids were now settled. I had to figure out how to get back into a social life after having not dated for almost 20 years. I had to do a lot of different things, and I couldn't find the one resource that I was looking for. And so it caused me to, over a number of years, to write my own book, which I called Moving On. And each chapter of the book deals with a different portion of your post-divorce life, whether it's figuring out your finances or where you're going to live, or what your work schedule is going to be, which friends do you want to keep working with and hanging out with, how are you going to raise your kids? And eventually I get to the point of, are you going to find a new mate, a new spouse? And how do you find that person? And how do you make yourself the right person to find that person? And so that's where it all started.
Now, you said so many things that I want to talk about, but right. I really want to focus on the making yourself the right person. You've said this before when we've talked, and it's so interesting. And you're one of the first people, as a lawyer, not as somebody like, you know, I'll talk to psychologists and they're like, we have to work on ourselves, we have to make ourselves better. But you're one of the first people I've talked to who's not a psychologist who said, you don't want to go into your next relationship the same person that came out of your old relationship. So where do we start that work?
Right. And so it's and just to clarify, I was a psychologist 25 years ago, and that's probably where I get this perspective.
Yeah.
But I went into being a family law attorney, hoping I could bring my psychology background into it. And I think I'd do a decent job of that. But the moving on process has to involve figuring out what you contributed to the prior relationship to make it go badly. It's very easy, and I could do it for you right now, 14, 15 years later. I could give you the top 10 things my ex-wife did that drove me crazy. But that doesn't become real helpful if you're trying to move on. If you're looking in the rear view mirror, that's all you're talking about. But if you're looking down the road where you want to go, you've got to figure out the top 10 things that you did to contribute to it.
You mean it's not always the other person's fault, David?
Yeah, it's impossible that it's wholly one person's fault. I guess there are hypothetical cases out there where it's all one person's fault. I just haven't run into it yet. It's okay. One of our local judges likes to say that Attila the Hun doesn't get married to Mother Teresa. So you don't have a horrible person and a saint. Both people have their faults. But so I tell people that I tell every one of my clients coming in through the door, you're getting divorced, you need a therapist. And I want you for 2 or 3 weeks just to vent about all the problems you had in the old relationship and how you felt unsupported or whatever was wrong in your relationship. But then you've got to turn the switch and you've got to start focusing on yourself. And psychotherapy is the best place to do that. You've got someone who's skilled, who is just paid to listen to you for that hour and then to provide you helpful feedback. And so that's what I did. I did it for a full year after I got divorced, before I even thought about trying to date. And I just picked up the things that I was doing to drive my ex-wife crazy as well. And I tried to get rid of those things.
So for those who are not actively in therapy or who've not had therapy, some would say, you know, I don't know what they're going to get out of me that I'm not telling my friends, or that, you know, my cousin doesn't know. What is the benefit of seeing a professional? What's the difference?
Yeah, first of all, the professional has the bandwidth to listen to everything that you could possibly come up with. I'm sure you could talk to your cousin or your brother or your best friend about these things. It's just at some point they're going to top out. They can't listen to you the amount of time it's necessary for you to process all those things. So first, it's bandwidth. Second, it's a trained professional. They're there to listen extremely carefully to figure out what patterns you keep bringing up in what you're talking about that maybe you don't realize in your head that you're going through. Mm-hmm. And so the psychologist doesn't do a lot of talking. They do a lot of listening. And every once in a while, they'll insert something that just makes you sit back and say, oh, wow, I never even thought of it that way. It's someone taking a completely different perspective than you. That's what helps people change.
All right. And the change is what we're after, because everybody needs to be growing, right? That's the whole point, is growth in this life. You know, if you didn't want to, you would have never learned to walk. So your body was born to grow and develop and change. So now you've written a book and it's fantastic and you're helping the world. And now you think, podcast. Tell me where that came from and where we're going with it.
Sure. So I've done a lot of appearances in the media on Good Morning America and Fox's Good Day LA, places like that, where I primarily talk about celebrity divorces. And so that's sort of, you know, the eye candy of broadcast news. And I don't get into the issues below it, even when I want to talk about, well, what maybe was really going on with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp below the surface, and why are they still in litigation?
We can come back to that, because yeah. I totally love talking about that.
And so that's where I'd like to go, but that's not where broadcast journalism wants to go, because they've got 2 or 3 minutes with you. Mm-hmm. So the idea was to do a show where each show I could go in depth in a subject. So, you know, one show that we've now filmed and edited is just on the emotional impact of divorce, talking about the things we just talked about. Another show that's still being edited is on the financial aspects. And so I'm taking all these small subjects that people have to eventually work through and then going in depth for a full hour.
Wow. Is it video or audio podcast?
It's both. It's by video and audio, you know, by YouTube, through my website, through Spotify or Apple or wherever you get this stuff, you can find it.
Where finer podcasts are downloaded.
Yes, right.
Everywhere but Amazon, which is the only thing that Bezos hasn't taken care of yet.
Right.
So, which is another divorce we could discuss.
Right.
Because that was lucrative. So when you are picking these topics, are they things from your book? Is this an add-on to your book, or are these things that have been like, you know, if I was going to write a second book, this is where these would be?
It's some of both. The book was mainly on the post-divorce era and getting through that first year post-divorce. Mm-hmm. And that's a relatively small, it's an important time frame, but it's a relatively small time frame. So we're extending topics I brought up in the book and then going beyond. And I've got a write-in feature on the website. So, you know, tell me about something you're going through that you'd like to hear about more. And although the editions aren't up on the website yet, the write-in box is, and people have already lined us up with 12 or 13 new things to talk about next year when we finally get around to it. So it's the idea of being responsive to, you know, I had my divorce a certain way. Mm-hmm. No two people's divorces ever the same or even relatively similar. And, you know, and so trying to approach it in that direction, that everyone's got their own issues, but we're going to have time to address anything people write in about.
So one, you lobbed this over the net towards me. So I have to say, what's the website? What's the podcast? How can people tune in? And then we're going to come back to something else you just said.
Sure. So the website is thehourglasspodcast.com. That's the website. That's also the name of the podcast. Everything is the Hourglass Podcast. So it's I'm Glass. We're doing an hour. We also talk a lot about time and how much time people spend on topics so that they don't get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that you said that was really insightful, and it took me such a long time to realize it, which is why I want to come back to it, is you said not everybody's divorce is the same. I went through mine, and yours was that certain way, but no one is the same about anything. You know, you can raise your children a certain way and your cousin can say, oh no, she's terrible, right. But it's everybody's life is their own. And there are moments where I say things and I'm like, I don't know that they have the same background. They grew right. up wealthy, wealthy, or they grew up poor, poor, you know, and I grew up very Midwestern middle class. So mm-hmm. when you get to the point where you can step back and realize that, not necessarily even in your relationships marital, but in the world in general, right. another great reason for therapy. Because sometimes I'm like, I just don't get these people.
Right. And then the conclusion in therapy is everyone's different and you don't have to get them. And if you get along with them, continue to socialize with them. And if you absolutely don't understand them, you have to make that decision. Maybe this person isn't someone I want to spend my time on. Yeah. But that's the smaller issue. The bigger issue, again, is, you know, I have clients come to me and, my friend got X amount of alimony. Why can't I get that? Well, your friend's ex-husband makes a couple million dollars a year and your soon to be ex-husband makes $300,000 a year. That's why you're not getting the same amount as your friend down the street. Mm-hmm. And it's good that people talk to their friends and try and get perspective, but ultimately they have to decide, you know, what's going on in their own life. And what do I want to fix? Which takes me into another overarching idea for the podcast, the idea of creative problem solving. That if you can figure out what a problem is, I have a problem. I don't have enough money each month from what I make or what I receive in alimony and child support. How do you solve that? And creative problem solving forces you to, number one, identify the problem. Number two, try and generate as many solutions as possible in a brainstorming sort of way without self-editing, without saying, oh, that'll never work, or oh, that's ridiculous, or oh, that's just plain. You don't do any of that. You just throw them all out on the page and get up to about 12, 13, 14 possible solutions. Mm-hmm. The third step is you look at each of those solutions and you say, if I did this, what would then happen? And then your choices become readily apparent. One or maybe two of those will be things like, I think that would work. And then you have to move on very quickly and choose one of those things. Mm-hmm. People get stuck after they've generated solutions. Then they want to ruminate and they want to think about it. And you can figure out the best choice relatively quickly. And you got to move on it. You can't, if you're sitting in a muddy puddle and your pants are wet and dirty, and you say, well, this is what I know. If you just want to sit in a muddy puddle, then I guess that's what you want to do. But if you're in a muddy puddle, you got to figure out how I'm going to get out of it and then do it right away.
This is why I love talking to David. Like I make up excuses to get him on the phone. David Glass, attorney at law, and host of the Hourglass podcast. You can get all the information at the hourglasspodcast.com. But you say things that are so insightful to me. And I think it goes back to you being a psychologist, where I find myself doing that, where I think about a situation and I'm like, okay, good. I'm going to do this. And then I just sit there right. and I'm like, I'll do that in a minute. It took too much effort to figure out what I was going to do. Right. I don't know that I have the energy to do it. But I've been trying to, like, as I learn more in my life about myself, I try to be like, okay, let's go. Let's take that inertia and just keep moving. I alluded at the beginning that this has been a hard time psychologically and mental health wise for so many. And it feels a little bit, I mean, we're 2.5 years into this pandemic. Right. So I feel like it's almost like the broken record. Are we still suffering from the effects of the pandemic? And you can answer as a divorce lawyer, as a former psychologist, however you want to approach this. But to me, it feels like the fingers of what that did to all of us are still have a little stranglehold.
Oh, absolutely. I have four kids. Two are out of college, and I have two young boys. I have a 5.5-year-old who just started kindergarten, and his kindergarten teacher says the entire class is at least a year behind where other incoming kindergarten classes are, just because they missed almost a year of preschool while things were locked down. Then when they went back, they sort of had this distancing thing. They had little pods. They didn't get the full experience that most kids get in preschool. And so they're a little behind in kindergarten, and they're just talking. It's not a problem. It's a problem, but it's not something that's insurmountable. Everyone will catch up. It's just something to think about and not be crazy that my kindergartner doesn't read yet, even though my older daughters from 20 years ago went into kindergarten reading.
Right.
Whether it's the pandemic or it's boy versus girl, it's just remembering that, whatever we've all gone through, we've been delayed and we've been stymied socially. And while Zoom is an amazing thing, to be able to do things like this or to have meetings across the country, when it was all Zoom, and there was no personal interpersonal contact, in-person contact, that was really rough. It was exhausting to be on Zoom all day and to not see people and not to fist bump or shake hands or slap them on the back or just sit around talking. It's just every single one of us has gone through a lot of things here. And it's going to take years to work through them.
So, did you see the divorces go up? Because that was the big prediction, was that
Yeah, oh,
people
absolutely.
are not going to like each other once they're together.
Yeah, it's a sad fact. It's a good fact if you're a divorce lawyer and you have your own firm. But in 2020, the courts were closed from March through May, and so I didn't have too much to do. In May, the phone started ringing off the hook, and everyone called up and said, "I can't be in the house with this person anymore. We can't get along." It took away people's going out to play golf or going out with friends or at least going to the office for 8 hours a day and then coming home with something new to talk about with your partner. My perspective is people didn't take the chance to try and say, "All right, well, yeah, it's different. We've got to work it out." And they just bailed on it. They said, "This is not working. We're arguing. We're trapped in the same house. I've got to get out." That's more about, it's like a sociological thing about people not willing to put in the work to make things work if they can. But yeah, my business went up 40%, and across LA, new divorce filings were up 43%. It was huge in 2020.
So were these relationships that would have probably failed anyway, and this exacerbated it, where they were like, we're done. We were heading there anyway, let's just call it.
Yeah, for sure, it exacerbated things and pushed people to a decision point a lot sooner than they otherwise would have. But I think because everyone was trapped inside and you didn't have all the things you could go out and do, I think a lot of people got divorced who just didn't give it the chance. That, doing couples therapy via Zoom is the next best thing. It's not the same as you two sitting on a couch with the therapist across from you. It's you can't get as deep, I don't think. And
Well,
obviously,
especially when the kids are in the next room. Yeah, that's a problem
psychologists
too.
are doing the best they can under the circumstances. I just can't see it being as effective. And so I think a lot of these relationships that ultimately failed were headed towards an inflection point. It's just whether they absolutely had to go over the other side of the hill into divorce.
All right. So let's get back to your podcast. As I mentioned, and you mentioned before, it is called The Hourglass Podcast. You can go to thehourglasspodcast.com. It is David Glass with me, my guest today, talking about his podcast because it is not just divorce talk. And that's what's my focus, while I love talking to David and learning, is I was fascinated by the additional aspects. So tell me the format so we can get into
Sure.
that, please.
Sure. So we're focusing on time, the amount of time people spend on things, and we're trying to serve as the intersection between family law and psychology. So family law, you're getting divorced or you have to raise your kids a different way. That creates the problem. And psychology, in a lot of cases, provides the solution. And so we're bringing those two ideas together. But each show will have three guests. It'll typically start off with a psychologist guesting to talk about one topic or another, emotional regulation, or how to get back out into the world, or how to make your own list of the things that you did wrong. We'll also have another professional, whether it's an accountant or a financial analyst or a member of the media or a matchmaker, other people who can talk about things that everyone's dealing with and give very practical, simple solutions to them. And then each show, we will also talk to someone who's going through divorce or someone who went through divorce. We're talking to children of divorce, both adult and still children. We're going to talk to in-laws. We're going to talk to everyone who's affected by divorce. So each of these people will talk for, you know, about 15 minutes and keep the conversation moving. And then at the end of every show, we're going to have a minute of stand-up comedy. We're going to have a stand-up comedian do a minute on divorce. Whatever they might do on their stage show, they boil it down and bring it to us. After we've been talking about all these heavy topics, you know, the idea is to lighten it up at the end and leave people with at least a laugh or a snicker.
I love that. A minute is tight. That is quick. You got to get to like three punchlines and done. So that's going to be a challenge for your comics who are coming on. When you wanted, and obviously with your background, having the psychology, but when did you decide that was crucial in this podcast to add in?
Most of the podcasts I've listened to, if they're an hour or 45 minutes, it's a conversation like we're having. Mm-hmm. And you can find that, and you can find great interviews and a lot of information. I wanted to try and shake it up a little bit. I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, and Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas, they had these variety shows where they had three guests on, each of them doing 10 or 12 minutes, and then they would move on. And sometimes they sat farther down the couch. But the idea was you covered a couple different topics, gave something, a little piece of the show for anyone who might be listening. And I like the idea of moving through things quickly. That's sort of the way I run my law firm. It's, you know, we sit down with the partners, and by the end of a 1 hour meeting, we've got to have a solution, pick it and move on. And so same thing with the show. If people are coming on the show, I want them to get to their point relatively quickly, so my listeners get as much information as possible.
One of my favorite things I learned about Elon Musk, and there's so many to choose from, but he schedules his meeting in 5 minute increments. That's his calendar. Like, you can get a 5 minute window to talk with him. If he can make these crazy choices in 5 minutes, what am I doing? Scheduling, you know, whatever. Like, I really need to make things more concise. So same for you. If you can book in, you know, something about a very serious topic, something about a serious topic, but psychological and mental health related, and then someone else who's been affected by it, this seems like a full variety hour of divorce talk. So to me, it seems like a very healthy addition to someone who is going through, has gone through, is considering, is practicing law, you know, family law. Yeah. So it is the Hourglass podcast. How deep are you getting? What are the plans for this? Because there is deep pain that can be associated with divorce and some of the psychological trauma for some people.
Yeah. And so our idea is to, for the first 12 of these, we're gonna move it along pretty quickly. And then any of the issues that we raised in the first 12 episodes, if we get a lot of feedback, I want to hear more about X, Y, or Z. We're going to bring back that person for possibly doing half the show with them, so that we can start going more in depth after we've given people the full range of issues and some real concrete examples about how to do creative problem solving. Mm-hmm. Then if there's any topics that we're interested in or our audience is interested in, we can come back and start digging in a little bit deeper.
So you mentioned before the website is up, people can go and put in requests for any sort of topic. You know, please dig into, you have an accountant coming on already, but anything that you could want related to divorce or recovering from divorce, etc. And that people can put in their request for that. The hourglasspodcast.com is that website. David Glass, family law attorney, a divorce attorney out in Los Angeles, and overall just fantastic human, who joins me today. What do you see as the biggest issue right now with our mental health with the people you deal with?
Yeah, it's I talk about creative problem solving as being a quick solution, but anyone who's dealing with a mental health issue has to realize that they're not going to go in it's not like going to a chiropractor, two or three sessions and your back starts feeling better and you're back out into the world. Mm-hmm. With no offense to any chiropractors and what they do.
No, they're fantastic.
It's sort of more acute treatment. It's a long-term treatment and people are not committing the time out of their own schedules to do an hour a week just to focus on them. We all have a million things are going on and kids and AYSO soccer and the board meeting and the charitable work we do. We're all extremely busy, but if we don't take an hour a week to go talk to a therapist, if you're dealing with any issues, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. And so people are not being patient enough to, number one, schedule the time, and number two, then to continue talking about these issues over the long run. You're not gonna solve anything in 12 sessions. And that's why I tell people getting divorced that you've got to commit to therapy for at least a year after you get divorced. I also tell them not to start dating for at least a year. Mm-hmm. Not so many people listen, but I think that's sort of the optimal amount of time.
You just said if you're going through any issues, if you're dealing with any issues, who is not? Don't we all have something? I mean, as a former therapist, like... Right. Didn't anybody walk in and go, I'm here, but I don't really know why. I feel great. And then you're like, okay, give me a minute.
Let's talk a little bit and we'll find something. But it's the dealing with an issue is not only or do you have an issue, but you recognize it as a problem and you're trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people who go through life and never recognize that they're causing problems, that their partner's causing problems, that their interactions with friends and employees. You know, we had an employee here at the law firm who we hired. It was her second job. And she's now gone on to 5 jobs in the last year. She can't work anywhere because I see her, you know, the updates on LinkedIn come in and she's got an issue. And unless she fixes it, she's going to continue hopping around from job to job and never be stable. Same thing with people just in their everyday lives. If you have an issue, you first have to recognize it and then be willing to work on it. Then you're ready to go in and see the therapist.
All right. Because you brought this up, this was not in my line of questioning.
Right.
Job hopping. This is like a thing right now. Is this a generational thing or is this a dissatisfaction thing?
I think it's both. It's generational. In the law, it's definitely generational. People, when I got into the law 25 years ago, you went to a big law firm, you stayed for, I don't know, 11, 12 years. And they finally, if you managed to stay that long, they granted you a partnership and you had made it and you do your whole career. The same way sports stars used to be tied to a team. Mm-hmm. Mike Schmidt played for the Phillies all the way through, never mm-hmm. thought about going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And now it just isn't that way. People are not willing to put in the 2000 hours, billable hours as a lawyer. And that's fine. And they're also not interested in partnership. They say, I'm just going to work and I'm going to do my thing, but I want to have my life outside. And maybe that's a better balance. But the workplace just isn't the same. And then you add COVID and people realizing that they could work from home. Mm-hmm. And bosses saying, no, you've got to be in the office. That causes a lot of dissatisfaction. I can't work from home. I tried to work from home in March of 2020. I did a day and a half and then I came right back to the office. I was the only person in the whole building, the only car in the parking lot.
You were as safe as we were because you were by yourself.
Right. 18,000 square foot office. Me. That was it.
Yeah.
But I think there's also lots of choices because the labor market is down. There's more jobs than there are people. So it's very easy to think that the grass is greener at another job. It probably isn't, but if people feel they've got to take that shot, then they should. It's, again, if they go through their own creative problem solving and decide I'd rather be somewhere else, they just have to know if it doesn't work out, they have to come right back and go with the other choice.
Right.
And it's not a sin or it's not a crime not to pick the right choice the first time. The crime is not getting up and then saying, I got to go back into this and make a quick decision the second time or even the third time.
Yeah, I'm actually proud of anybody who's so like, yeah, this doesn't work for me. And they go, I'm like, wow, Good for them. That's a lot of self-awareness. Maybe they go to enough therapy. It is the Hourglass Podcast. You can go to thehourglasspodcast.com. That is thehourglasspodcast.com. His name is David Glass, and it is an hour. Therefore, it is the Hourglass Podcast. David Glass, thank you so much for your time as always. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to you, and I'm absolutely subscribing the moment we are done here.
Great. Right. It was great talking to you. And thanks for letting me get the word out through your channels as well.
Absolutely. It is anything I can do to help you, that would be terrific for me. Hannah Stanley here, Beyond Sports. We'll talk next week.